We're on the air. Let's see how the broadcast gets from the studio to your home.
I just want to hear the music, that's all.
Is it too complicated to just keep my records in the category, okay? Just put the rock and roll in with the rock and roll. Put the R&B in with the R&B. I mean, you're not going to put Charlie Parker in with the rock and roll, would you?
What does it all mean?
I don't know. Who is Charlie Parker?
Yes!
Sounds Visual is a podcast featuring interviews and long-form conversations with DJs, crate diggers, record sellers, vinyl enthusiasts, and musicians.
Okay, welcome back to another episode of Sounds Visual Radio. My name is Justin. Thanks for tuning in. Today on the podcast, you'll hear episode 2 of our spin-off series, How Deep Is Your Crate?, where we talk to DJs about some of their favorite records from their own collections and why they've had such an impact on them. For episode 2, DJ Sesqui decided to talk about Hungarian-born guitarist Gabor Szabo's 1968 album Dreams, released on the Sky record label. The album was and is a mind-bending combination of jazz, classical, psychedelic, and folk music, and is one of the highlights from Gabor's discography. If you'd like to hear the record for yourself, you can find it streaming on Spotify and YouTube Music. Okay, let's talk to DJ Sesqui about Gabor Szabo's 1968 album, Dreams.
So the album is called Dreams, and the artist is Gabor Szabo. Now, around this time, when I first came in contact with this album, I was basically just searching just for some funk and some samples. And I did run into some Gabor Szabo prior to this. I believe Jazz Raga was my first true connection with Gabor Szabo, which is a great release on Impulse, and various other ones. That Spellbinder, and when I heard Spellbinder, I mean, yeah, I think back in the day, there's no Wikipedia, there's nobody really having information other than the true, like, you know, audio archaeologists on any of this stuff, and we just had to assume things. And of course, you know, a lot of people sampled Gabor Szabo from, you know, of course, Jurassic to, you know, People Under the Stairs, I believe MF Doom, you know, like there's, everyone had a little tinge of Gabor. People didn't know about Gabor. You got to understand, back in the day, nobody had Wikipedia and people didn't have, you know, Discogs or, you know, you had to kind of piece the map yourself, and whatever you mapped out and maybe what people gave you information about, you kind of then figured it out, unless you were like, you know, a producer or an engineer from that era or an artist. And even artists in them, you know, interviewing so many artists at the time around that era, you know, from Bernard Petit to Brian Auger, people forget. Artists forget. It was like a time, it was a moment. And so we only knew what you had and what the crates gave you and what your own, you know, digging discipline gave you. And I didn't know a lot about Gabor. He kind of was, he was under the radar. But when I heard Spellbinder, I was like, wait, that sounds like Santana's riff. And it sure was. Later on, documented that he did take that riff, Gypsy Queen, and incorporate it into what is now the Santana sound. I'll was like, man, that's a crazy bite. But later on, Santana and him were actually to collaborate on stuff together. He was sort of stoked on it. Anyways, Gabor Szabó, amazing guitarist out of Hungary, comes out of the craziness of Hungary around that time. I believe it was the Hungarian revolution from the Iron Curtain, which was, you know, I guess incredibly pushed down by the Russian Communist Party. Like, you know, it was a lot of pain and suffering that the Hungarian people went through. He was around at that time.
Just before communism took over in Hungary, I saw a Roy Rogers movie and I saw him play the guitar. Since everything that was American became illegal, it made us somewhat of a fanatics towards anything that came from America. We resented Hungarian folk music and gypsy music because those were the only things that we were allowed to play. If I was lucky enough to get an album which was made in America on the black market, it would take me about 4 or 5 weeks' salary. Other musicians came up to my house and listened, and we made references to those albums like one would make to the Bible.
But he was definitely influenced, what I know, is he's influenced by the radio broadcasting. I believe it's the Army broadcasting that played jazz over Europe and all just kinds of American music all over Europe, which influenced a lot of musicians in Europe at that time. And he was just so inspired by all the jazz artists he heard, Duke Ellington and, you know, Thelonious Monk and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He's just up in it. He wants to be a jazz player. He comes to America and starts learning, goes to school at Berklee School of Music. This is all the kind of facts that I've put together over time, and also it's pretty much well documented. He goes to the Berklee School of Music in Boston, which he meets up a lot of people that would eventually work with him and collaborate with him. Meets up with Chico Hamilton. Chico Hamilton gets in his band, and I guess, you know, he gets excited to get in this band, but Chico's just says he's just not feeling that he's playing authentically his own style. Gets kind of booted out, comes back 3 years later, and just blows him away. So he's gone through a lot of learning process. He starts developing these releases with Impulse, which put him on the map. And he also throws in a lot of these pop tunes. Now, that's as far as I know. I'm seeing Spellbinder out and about, which now, I guess, you know, back then, nobody really in the digging community in LA in like the late 80s, no one's talking about Gabor Szabó except one guy. And his name is Lucas McFadden. Everyone knows him as Cut Chemist. I bring Jazz Raga to him, and I'm like, yo, what's up with this album? Well, who's this guy? And he's like, shh, keep it on the down low, because eventually, I guess, he was trying to sample him. I'm like, I hear ya. Now, in South Bay, collecting records, you're going to get a lot of this West Coast kind of sound that's, you know, just dropped off at these thrift stores that basically was my record store. It was mainly thrift stores. That's what I grew up on. So whatever they had, I was a sucker to what was available. And basically, I would run into a lot of these artists that were associated with Gabor Szabó, Gary McFarland, Cal Jader, these beautiful labels called Sky Records. And I ran into a couple of these West Coast artists sounds, you know, very San Francisco, late 60s sounds. And I'm cruising through, I think it was one of the thrift stores. I believe it was. This one was in Torrance, I remember. And I pull out this record, Dreams. Now, they said never judge a book by its cover, but this cover is just gorgeous. Sky Records is a label that Gary McFarlane, Gabor Szabó, and Cal Jader, and I believe Norman Schwartz put together in the late 60s. Their covers are just beautiful glaze and just gatefold and just gorgeously produced and sounding and looking, but very, very kind of mild and mellow. So I pull out this album, and this is gorgeous. Probably one of the best looking covers I've ever seen. And I just take it home, and I couldn't stop listening to the album over and over and over again. And I'm going to admit to you, some of my first psychedelic experimentations with mushrooms were done on this album. I mean, this album is a part of me. It's in my skin. It's underneath my pores. And it became so loved to me and the group of collectors I was around, my friends, that we passed this record around to each other and encouraged each other to do psychedelics to it, that it just got worn out. And then eventually we all had to kind of eventually got our own and replaced them. But it just was an album that you had to listen to and had to pass around. I always feel like great music in general is made to be heard, not to be hoarded. I mean, we love to collect and we love to have stacks of records and all this, you know, plethora of information that we find in its obscurity. But really in the end, I'm always a person of a proponent of having people hear the music because that's what it's made for. So passing this one around was just, you know, was an honor, and everyone received it the same way I was. I mean, it was just the same thing across the board that everyone eventually got their own album, you know, their own LP. So this album just really kind of ties in a lot of like the tormented soul era, I believe, of the West Coast in the late 60s, Mamas and Papas, All the Leaves Are Brown, you know, Sky is Gray, a little bit of the West Montgomery smoothness. You know, it kind of has all those elements in that feel, but it takes it into a different area. It takes it to what I believe a lot of people were inspired by this album eventually and created, I heard years later, created a whole sound out of this. I believe so. I mean, you can't tie everything to one thing, but this definitely had a lot more influence than I believe the sales at the time showed. Just to kind of like break it all down, this album from the beginning, Galatea's Guitar, the intro, I use that track. I used to really DJ a lot of Rare Groove. You know, of course, I peppered in hip hop and house and et cetera as time went on. There was no, you know, Serato at the time. So everything was just record based. That was the best opening track to play to begin the night. From the supper feel of a club, you know, when we DJ back in the day, we would be opening the night usually at a restaurant or like a club that wasn't like, you know, it transferred from a restaurant to a club in a dance floor situation. You couldn't just come out popping sometimes, and you'd have to like slowly bring in the vibe. That song always brought in the vibe, and it beautifully mixed into something else, a down-tempo track or a hip-hop track or just another rare groove. Beautiful, light, letting you know it's there. The accompaniment of Jim Stewart, the guitarist that's on this, also is, you know, just amazing. Those two just work so well together. Another student, I believe, at Berklee School of Music. You got Louis Kabak on bass, Jim Keltner, one of the all-time funkiest drummers, on drums, Hal Gordon on percussion, and you got some various artists on French horn, violin, cello. So there's also the string arrangements are beautiful. But Galatea's guitar comes in smooth, beautiful, amazing, brings you in, and then it starts just picking you up. And you just run down and do the list of the whole album, you know, from Gary McFarlane's Half Days and Night, which is probably becoming one of my, I think, the favorite of that album. The first was the number one was Galatea's, but Half the Day is the Night is probably becoming my all-time favorite. There's just so many slices of beauty within that. And I think the harmonies and melodies just draw you in. It's exactly a heartbroken record, you know, or a heartbroken song. And that is definitely a beautiful one. Song of the End Your Love, another heartbroken song that also is just as beautiful. Then you get into like the sounds of what Gabor brought to jazz, which was the Hungarian gypsy stylings. You know, you get into that with the fortune teller, fire dance. Yeah, and then there's Ferris Wheel that's just kind of, you know, light but uppity, and that's and it just recorded so well. The drums are present, everything's present. could you say? You know, they called it a crossover jazz dirt stream album. I think it's an album of journey. You know, it really is. When you listen to the whole thing, it all makes sense. It's perfect from the beginning to the end. And it has its ups and downs. It has its moody feelings throughout that are just perfect. And very much, it is what it is. It's like a dream, you know? I mean, you're going through like a journey. Like, these are individual little dreams, every song on this album. I guess that kind of does it for, you know, this week's How Deep Is Your Crate? And, you know, thank you, Mr. Justin, the sound visual. And there's plenty more in the crate, that's for sure. So let's continue this. And thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of it.
For an archive of Sounds Visual Radio episodes, please visit our website at soundsvisualradio.com. You can find us on Instagram at Sounds Visual Media. You can find us on Facebook at Sounds Visual PDX, or you can email us at soundsvisualradio@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.